Hello, dear friends, and welcome. Well, it looks like next week we're going to be worshiping together in person again. But as things keep changing, be sure and check our website for the specific guidelines. We're committed to keeping everyone safe. And now let's turn to God with a word of prayer as we begin in worship. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, on this your holy day, open us to your word and your way. Help us to open our ears and our eyes to you in new ways. But even more importantly, open our hearts to you and all that you have for us. May your word break down all that separates us from you and each other. And may we be refreshed and encouraged and filled with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, let's welcome Nathan Drake.
Fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrimage. Everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
If I had a mind to brag a little, I could probably do it without looking ridiculous, and I'd still be speaking plain truth all the way. But I'll spare you. I don't want anyone imagining me as anything other than the fool you'd encounter if you saw me on the street or heard me talk. Because of the extravagance of these revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he did, in fact, was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. First, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. And he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in my own weakness. And now I take limitations in stride, with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. You know, George Barna, who is considered the George Gallup of Christian surveys, once conducted a national survey in which he asked, if you could ask God only one question and you knew he'd give you an answer, what would you ask? Well, not surprisingly, the number one response by far was this: why is there pain and suffering in the world? I think that's a question that's on everyone's mind these days, especially as we've all been trying to navigate so many intense challenges, from the pandemic to fires and floods and droughts, to the horrific toppling of that condo in Florida. It just seems like everywhere we turn, there's all kinds of chaos and division and loss. All of us are trying to do our best. We're trying to be strong, trying to hang in there. But with so much confusion, and frankly, I think we're all just exhausted. Well, the story is told that a person had just arrived at the portals of heaven. And a voice asks, what's the password? Speak it, and you may enter. Okay, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? No, answers the voice. The just shall live by faith. No, sorry, try again. Well, how about there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? Well, those things are all true, the voice answered, but sorry, they're not the password. Well, then, I give up, says the person. Hey, that's it. Come on in, says the voice. Now, who would have thought that, right? Because in this world, we're not ever supposed to give up, ever. And the idea that the weaker we get, the stronger we become, it sort of just goes against everything we're taught. I don't know about you, but growing up in hard times, I was always taught that I had to be tough no matter what. My brothers were continually told to man up. The last thing you ever wanted to do was to show even the slightest signs of weakness. Truth be told, power seems to be the real god of this world. And sadly, all around us, we see people selling their very souls for power. The very last thing anyone wants to is to be seen as weak or vulnerable. And we all seem to have this need to stay in control, even when it's clear that control is really just an illusion. And then we read this surprising passage from Paul to the Corinthians. He calls himself a fool. He admits to having a handicap. Apparently, it's something he's been struggling with for some 14 years and begging God to free him from it. And now, he says it's actually a gift and meant to keep him aware of his limitations. It's a very different way of seeing things, isn't it? And not really surprising that it took Paul so long to get there. God's response to Paul is God's response to us as well, in our own fist-shaking moments. Now think about it. God's grace is enough. It's all we need. What a concept that God's strength comes into its own in our weakness. Well, the thing is, as long as we're trying to be the tough guys, the reality is there's no room for God in us. And we, in our well-meaning efforts, can actually be the biggest obstacle to God, and in turn, a source of suffering for ourselves and for others. But what a crazy concept that we're made perfect in our weakness. For whenever we are weak, then we're strong. Problem, I guess, is that we forget that we belong to God. And God's ways, as we say so often, are so very, very different from our human ways. It's kind of like the story of a young boy who was helping his father work in the yard, though. You know, this boy was doing his best to lift this huge rock that was way too large for someone his size. He grunted, he groaned, he huffed and puffed as he tried everything that he could think of, all different angles and things for lifting this rock. In spite of all of his efforts, the rock wouldn't budge. His father walked by, and after seeing his son struggle, he asked if he was having trouble. And the boy said, "Yes, I've tried everything, and it won't move." And his father asked, "Well, are you sure you've tried everything? Are you sure you've used every resource at your disposal?" And the boy looked up and gave his dad one of those looks and said, "Yes." Well, with a smile of kindness on his face, his father bent over and he said, "No, son, you haven't. You haven't asked for my help." How often are we just like that little boy? Hard-headed and stubborn, unwilling to ask God for the help that we need in the way that we need it, getting in the way when he does try to help. We struggle with our problems, we're unable to solve them, and we don't ask for help because we don't want to look weak. And yet, the help of God, our Heavenly Father, is always there. Now, part of the problem is that often we're looking for answers that are different than God's, and so we're almost afraid to ask God. And another problem is that when we think we're strong and can do it on our own, there's no room for God to enter or act in our lives. When we think we're strong, we convince ourselves that we don't really need God. We can do it on our own. James McCormick notes, though, that the most difficult person to teach is the person who thinks he knows it all. Such a person is not open to new truth because he thinks he already knows the truth. He says, "I'll never forget something I heard a number of years ago. There is no one so completely in the dark as the one who thinks he has all the light." Remember that. The only way to know we have the truth is humbly to ask again and again, "Do I have the truth? Do I have the truth?" He remembers hearing about a teacher who invited a college student to tea. He was a bright student, but he wasn't realizing his potential because he thought he knew it all. Well, the two of them sat in the professor's home, and the professor began pouring tea into the student's cup. And he poured, and he continued pouring until the tea was literally spilling over the cup, into the saucer, and then out of the saucer, into the student's lap. And the young man finally cried out, "It's full, it's over full, it can't hold anymore." And the professor stopped pouring, and he said to the student, "And you're full of yourself. I can't teach you anything until you become empty and ready to receive knowledge." The wisest people, those most open to God, are those who don't know how much they don't know. And that makes room for God. So where are you right now in all of this? Have you reached that point in your life where you're pleading with God to change you or to change your circumstances? Does it seem like God is silent in your struggles? As King Duncan so well puts it, instead of asking God to fix our circumstances, maybe now is the time to ask God to reveal himself in our circumstances. The time to admit that the only way we'll get through this is with God's strength and not our own. A time to look for opportunities to grow in courage and compassion and wisdom. Because our weaknesses can become strengths if they help us grow. They can also become strengths if they make us more determined to give our best in all circumstances. Now remember, our lives are not just about us. If we believe in God as our creator, then we have to know that God made us for a greater purpose than just our own happiness and comfort. And that's one of the things where we get stuck. When people look at us, our character and our choices and our priorities and our actions, they should see the power and truth and love and wisdom of God. Yes, God could make our life as smooth and comfy as a velvet blanket, King Duncan says. And why doesn't he? Because our lives are meant to be a reflection of God's love and power. And God's power is made perfect where? In weakness. My friends, may we, like Paul, have the faith to say, now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. For when I am weak, then I am strong. May God give us understanding in all of this, and may he make us strong in our weakness. Let us pray. Well, dearest Lord, we confess that in spite of our good intentions, too often our focus is on the ways of the world instead of your ways. We hate to appear weak and less than perfect in a world that only seems to value those who appear tough and strong. We confess that there is so much we don't understand, leading us to suffer and sadly causing us to make others suffer as well. Forgive us and help us, like Paul, to take our limitations in stride and good cheer, trusting that through you, the weaker we get, the stronger we actually become. And may all that we struggle with give us compassionate love for others. O gracious God, on this day, we lift up prayers of gratitude, even as we struggle and even as our hearts break for the suffering all around us. We lift up prayers for all those who are hurting in so many ways, even as we pray that you'll guide us to be the helpers and to act in ways that serve your will and fulfill the vision you have for a broken world. Loving Lord, as we give thanks for the freedoms we enjoy on this Independence Day, even as we pray for peoples and countries struggling under oppression and abusive systems of power and control, we pray for our nation's leaders who seek creative ways to address complicated challenges, and that all might work to find ways to bridge the gaps for the greater good over personal power. We pray for the safety and well-being of our military, especially those serving in harm's way. Oh, compassionate God, as we continue to move through this pandemic, we pray for health and healing for all. We pray that you would lift up the depressed, comfort those who grieve, and those who are anxious. Fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit, that we might be faithful to you in every way. And we pray for our church family, Lord, lifting up each one, especially those whose burdens weigh so heavy. We pray for healing and comfort with gratitude for each one. And all these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, we all struggle. And it's hard in our culture not to want to seem strong all the time. But as we let go, God gives us true strength. And as we have an attitude of gratitude and joy, no matter what comes our way, God again gives us great strength. And now may you go in God's love, God's strength, God's forgiveness and mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen, and God bless you.